The reading today will be from Acts 10, verses 1 to 24. At Caesarea, there was a man named Cornelius, a centurion in what was known as the Italian regiment. He and all his family were devout and God-fearing. He gave generously to those in need and prayed to God regularly. One day, at about 3 PM, he had a vision. He distinctly saw an angel of God who came to him and said, "Cornelius." Cornelius stared at him in fear. "What is it, Lord?" he asked. The angel answered, "Your prayers and gifts to the poor have come up as a memorial offering before God. Now send men to Joppa to bring back a man named Simon, who is called Peter. He is staying with Simon the Tanner, whose house is by the sea." When the angel who spoke to him had gone, Cornelius called two of his servants and a devout soldier who was one of his attendants. He told them that everything that had happened and sent them to Joppa. About noon the following day, as they were on their journey and approaching the city, Peter went up to the roof to pray. He became hungry and wanting something to eat. And while the meal was being prepared, he fell into a trance. He saw heaven opened and something like a large sheet being let down to earth by its four corners. It contained all kinds of four-footed animals, as well as reptiles of the earth and birds of the air. Then a voice told him, "Get up, Peter, kill and eat." "Surely not, Lord," Peter replied. "I have never eaten anything impure or unclean." The voice spoke to him a second time, "Do not call anything impure that the God has made clean." This happened three times, and immediately the sheet was taken back to heaven. While Peter was wondering about the meaning of the vision, the men sent by Cornelius found out where Simon's house was and stopped at the gate. They called out, asking if Simon, who was known as Peter, was staying there. While Peter was still thinking about the vision, the Spirit said to him, "Simon, three men are looking for you. So get up and go downstairs. Do not hesitate to go with them, for I have sent them." Peter went down and said to the men, "I'm the one you're looking for. Why have you come?" The men replied, "We have come from Cornelius the centurion. He is a righteous and God-fearing man who is respected by all the Jewish people. A holy angel told him to have you come to his house so that he could hear what you have to say." Then Peter invited the men into his house to be his guests. The next day, Peter started out with them, and some of the brothers from Joppa went along. The following day, he arrived in Caesarea. Cornelius was expecting them and had called together his relatives and close friends.
As we look at our passage from Acts 10 today, I've got a question. Are we open to God challenging us? A few of you might know about this example that I'm going to give, but almost 10 years ago, the curate at the church that I was attending in Cardiff spoke to me because he felt that God had asked him to speak to me about whether or not I'd ever considered ordination. And at the time I laughed. It wasn't something that was on my radar, but it didn't stop there. I did think about it and pray about it, and obviously I am now standing here almost 10 years on, ordained. But it was an example of God challenging me. Today's passage includes an absolutely pivotal point of challenge for the new believers in Acts. And it's something that we're going to hear more about in the coming weeks. I don't want to give too many spoilers away. But many of you will know that from what we hear about today. It's the beginning of the gospel message, that good news going out past the Jewish believers and out to the Gentiles, to ultimately the rest of the world. So we're going to have this as an opening scene, and I'm splitting today's passage into three acts that's going to set that scene for the coming weeks. But first, let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your word. Thank you for everything that you revealed to us through it. Pray that you'd help us by your Holy Spirit to see how what we've read and heard about today from Acts 10, how that can impact our lives and how we can hear more about what that meant for those first believers. Lord, would you speak to us afresh now? Amen. So Act 1. Cornelius is in Caesarea. He's an important Roman officer. He's in charge of 100 men. He and his family are God-fearing, they're devout. They prayed and gave regularly. But crucially, he's a Gentile. He's not a Jew. He's not in that band of believers who were previously Jews and are now following Jesus. He has this vision, and in this vision, he is called by name. And the paraphrase of what I feel like is happening now is, because of what you've done, Cornelius, then I want you to do this. And the doing this, the specifics are that he needs to send people from Caesarea, where he is, to Joppa, some 30 miles away or so. And at this point, he is scared. It's not surprising. He's got an angel who is speaking to him. He's addressed him by name. And if I was him, I'd be a bit like, what on earth is going on? But the fear didn't take over. It didn't cripple him. It didn't stop him from responding. So immediately he did what was asked of him. He sent men from his household, so two servants along with a devout soldier. So somebody who was valued in his household, who was important to him, who wasn't just any old person that he could kind of do without. Because he understood that this message was important and it was from God. And then we get to Act 2. Here we are up on the roof with a hungry Peter. And for those of you of a certain era or many different eras, I am so tempted to start singing when I write up on the roof, but I'm not going to. And if you're not really understanding what's going on right now, you're probably a bit younger than I am. So anyway, we're up on the roof in Joppa and Peter is hungry and he goes into this trance. And what I love about this passage is that God is able to use the mundane and the ordinary. So Peter's hungry and this trance tells him to get up and eat what he sees being let down in this thing like a sail, like a sheet. Luke is not telling us exactly what it is. He's saying it's like this. It's not to get hung up on the specifics of exactly what Peter is seeing. But God is using the simple, the everyday things. He's speaking to him through the hunger and this trance. It's full of all sorts of different animals. Clean animals and unclean animals. The sort of things that the food laws in Leviticus 11 had told the Jews that they were not under any circumstances to eat. And this combination to Peter, who's had the upbringing of a good Jewish boy, no way, he's not allowed to eat these things. So when in this trance, Peter is told to get up, kill and eat. My interpretation of his response is, no, we don't do that here. It's really not what we do. And I just love Peter's human responses. We see it all through the passages where he's involved. But have you ever experienced that sort of thing where you feel like God is telling you something but your human response is, no way, I'm not doing this. But there's a following response to Peter's. And Peter is told in no uncertain terms. We hear it in verse 15. Do not call anything impure that God has made clean. Wow, that's quite some rebuke. And this is the changing point. This is the pivotal point in the New Testament that we're going to hear more about in the coming weeks. But Peter doesn't just get told that once. He gets told that three times. It's confirmed over and over again. And as many of you are probably aware, Peter's got a bit of history with things happening three times. Does anyone remember the incident with the cock crowing? And then later, how Peter is reinstated three times too. So we begin Act 3. Peter is pondering what's going on. And perhaps offset, Cornelius's men arrive. But before Peter is aware of them arriving, the Spirit tells him that men are looking for him. And he's told to go with them. One translation of verse 20 gives a really interesting perspective on what's going on. And it says, "It's all right. Get up, go down and go with them. Don't be prejudiced. I have sent them." So Peter's really being confirmed that some of the old ideas are no longer okay. He needs to change what's going on, change his attitude that he's been taught. And the things that he's been taught have been right for a time and a season, but things are changing. So he meets the men, he finds out how they found him, and the next day they go back to Caesarea. The men go back to Caesarea, and Peter goes with him. The scene is set for the rest of the explanation that we're going to hear in the coming weeks. So with lots to ponder, let's worship together in song. And when we come back, we'll be thinking a little about application for our lives today. So as we think about application for our lives today, I'm going to use some three R's. Not those R's if you are thinking back to things we might have been talked about at school a little while ago, but relationship, recognition and response. So relationship. Cornelius and Peter had vastly different backgrounds. The key difference being that Peter was Jewish and Cornelius was not. He was a Gentile. But in their different ways, they both had a relationship with God. And that was the starting place. That was the foundation for hearing from God. We can presume that to be the case, because if they didn't know God and he sent these messengers to ask them to do things, you'd assume that there'd be a different outcome. If somebody that you know and you trust and you know their background, if they present to you a fairly unusual request, perhaps you're going to go along with that. Whereas if it's just Joe Bloggs who walks off the street and says, "Oh, will you go and send people to go 30 miles away and give this message and go and collect this person?" You'd probably look at them and say, "Excuse me? No, I don't think so." You're going to get a different response. And that leads to a recognition that the vision and the trance that they were of God. Then the message that came as part of the vision and the trance, that it was important for reasons that I've just mentioned, that it was from a position of relationship. And whether the response involved a pondering or whether it was an immediate response, that there was no question as to what's going on, what does this mean? Both Cornelius and Peter recognised who was behind the message and therefore that it was important. And we come to a response. God is God. And if Peter hadn't responded as he did, God would still have been able to sort the situation out. The gospel still would have spread throughout the world. However, both Cornelius and Peter responded. There was an activity in what they did. If they had stood there where they were in that situation, whether they were in Caesarea or whether they were in Joppa, and sort of had the attitude of, "Oh, well, okay, that's fine. You've asked me to do that. Or that's a nice idea. But we'll just leave it there." Then it would have resulted in a different story. Back to that question that I asked at the beginning. Are we open to God challenging us? It's a tricky one, isn't it? Because those of us who know Jesus, we have a relationship with Jesus, probably want to say yes. Or at least have a sense that the expected answer is going to be yes. But doesn't that go hand in hand with how many of us like our comfort zones? How many of us like to know what's happening and, dare I say, be in control? I'd imagine there's a fairly high number of people who'd say yes to that too. And that relationship, if we've got a relationship with Jesus already, and if we haven't, then it's never too late to begin that relationship with Jesus. And if that's something that you want to talk to somebody about, or that sounds really interesting to you, then please do get in contact with one of the clergy, a staff team member, or somebody who already knows Jesus and who could talk to you about that. But the relationship with Jesus is the basics, the basis, it's the place, the foundation for being open to being challenged by God. For both Cornelius and Peter, it was the starting place for where God asked them to do something. Both of them had to step out and respond. There was potential for a loss of time and a loss of money. Cornelius was sending servants quite a way away. It was going to be a couple of days that they were going to not be doing something else that they could have been doing. There's the potential for losing face. And there's also the potential that the things we love and we hold dear are going to be challenged. And that really happened for Peter. Our relationship with God is the bedrock of everything. And if you want to deepen or start that relationship and you don't really know where to start, please do talk to somebody. There's a recognition that's needed if we're going to be challenged. We have to recognise a challenge. We need to be listening and being open to God's voice, whether that's through his word or his spirit or through other people when they are talking to us who are being influenced by God's word or his spirit. We need to be open enough to get to that place of recognition. And it's great if you're there already. Although when I say great, I have to acknowledge that sometimes it's not a comfortable place to be. Sometimes it can be an overwhelming place to be challenged by God. But we're called to response and to action. If I'd said to my friend when he mentioned to me about whether I'd considered ordination, that I'd spent months of praying and listening and talking to people, yes, I think that God might be calling me to be ordained, and then just left it there, it wouldn't really have achieved the desired purpose. Similarly, if Peter had got to that place of saying, okay, God, I can see what you're saying, I can see what you're doing here, but I'm just going to stay here and keep my mouth shut. Again, you're probably getting my drift. But the really encouraging thing in all this, that challenge might be a bit tricky, it might be a bit scary, it might take us out of our comfort zone. Amazing things happen as a result of being challenged by God. And we're not trying to do any of this in our own strength. All through the book of Acts, we see people equipped by the Holy Spirit to do what they need to do. And it's no different here. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for the example that we see of your word, your good news spreading. The scene that we've seen set to hear more about that in the coming weeks. Thank you for the example of Cornelius and Peter responding to messages from you. And Lord, we ask that you would deepen our relationships with you, that you'd help us to recognise when you are speaking to us, when you are communicating to us, and help us to engage in that conversation. And through your Holy Spirit's equipping, we ask that you would help us when we respond, to move us to action in the way that you want us to be moved. Lord, would you show us now if there's something that you're challenging us about that we need to really start thinking about, engaging with and praying into? Lord, would you equip us by your Holy Spirit? Amen.